This is the Horse Radio Network.
This is episode 142 of the Stable Scoop Radio Show. Lucky 13. Please support our sponsors as they make this show possible.
Our title sponsor is Omega Alpha. You can find them at omegaalpha.ca. This episode is also sponsored by Equestrian Collections at equestriancollections.com. Plus Uncle Jimmy's, and you can find them at unclejimmys.com. And by the time we're done, the Food Network will be a sponsor too.
Wouldn't that be nice?
This is Glenn the Geek.
And this is Helena B. And you're listening to the Stable Scoop Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network.
Something a little different. You know, we have done over 1,200 episodes now of various episodes of the various shows on the Horse Radio Network. And I don't ever remember doing one about the topic we're going to do about today. And the reason that we chose this topic is because the other day, Helena and I were recording Tack and Habit Show, which, by the way, you ought to go back and listen to at tackandhabit.com. We were recording the Tack and Habit Show, and Helena just happened to mention, well, we've talked about in the show last week that you're laid up, but you also happened to mention that you've lost a lot of weight lately.
I have, yeah. I mean, a lot is, you know, what define what a lot of weight is. But for me, it's a lot of weight. So far, I'm down 13 pounds.
You're a little bitty thing, so 13 pounds is a lot.
Right, it is a lot. For me, it is a lot. It was intentional. I had to try to lose 13 pounds.
And I know you. You love to eat bad for you stuff.
Oh, my gosh. It's awful. I mean, jerky and things like that.
And, you know.
Thank God I don't have to give up jerky.
You don't?
No, I don't, actually. Full of protein. I've always been the type of person who's never had to try to lose weight. I wasn't really overweight. Maybe I got a little chubby in college or, you know, 5 extra pounds in high school or something like that. But, you know, you just distract me with something active and the next thing I know, I'm back to my ideal weight. So for me to have to actually try to take some weight off, for my doctor to say, you really should lose 10 pounds.
Your doctor said that?
Yes. Yes, she did.
Because, you know, when I saw you last time, I didn't think that, you know?
Well, you know what it is? I carry my weight fairly well because I genetically, now I take no credit for this, but genetically, my family has a muscular frame. We're small, like, we're not big people, but...
No, but you got a little athlete's body.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so when I gain weight, I gain it all over. So it's distributed evenly. I'm sort of curvy, you know, it's not like any one area sticks out. You just tend to see a little more poof in my face. So a lot of people don't realize, you know, when I tell them how much I weigh, they go, no way. But, you know, the scale doesn't lie and neither does the doctor. So she said, you know, technically you are 10 pounds over the range that's healthy for a person of your height and weight and age.
And then you also said to me that you were reading a book and something hit you in the book. The doctor and the book.
Yeah. Actually, we had a couple of conversations with Daniel Stewart of the Ride Right Clinics, and I was reading Ride Right, and one of the chapters in there was, you know, do yourself a favor and do your horse a favor. You can actually be a much more effective rider if you are physically fit. And I thought to myself, you know, I've always been physically fit, but am I really physically fit now? I can muck my own stalls. I can get on. I can jog around the field. But really, how fit am I? And is my current physical fitness doing my horse any favors? So that plus, this is the really embarrassing part. When I was trying the Amerigo saddles.
Did you have to go up a size?
I did. I was embarrassed. She was, and you know, the saddle fitter said, no, you know, I think you'd be fine in a 17 because they don't have half sizes. And the models I was looking at.
And you've always been in a 16 and a half before?
No, I've always been a 17.
Oh, okay.
And if I had to go up, it was a 17 and a half. But, so she's like, we don't have a 17 and a half. You have to go to an 18. And that did it for me. I'm so little that, and I have to ride in a size 18 saddle. I was crushed. And that really, you know, I wasn't so much embarrassed, but I felt like, okay, that's what drove it home for me. I really do need to do something about this.
So today what we're going to do is something a little different. We're actually going to talk about health and fitness and nutrition and weight loss, but we're also going to talk about food and what you did to lose this weight. But also, you know, you kind of have an ace in the hole in that your nutritionist lives in the house with you.
Yes, my chef nutritionist. Yes, and he...
And he's always been in disgustingly good shape. Well, I wanted to bring
I know, he's gross. And you know what, he's the kind of... He can hop on a horse and just be so quiet and silent, and that horse just kind of goes nice. He knows nothing. Doesn't know what he's doing, but he's got, like, perfect position. Yeah, my husband, the perfect guy.
Well, we're going to have him on here shortly. You know, there's another group that knows a lot about nutrition and health for people and horses, for that matter. And that's Omega Alpha. And, you know, I saw Dr. Chang here at the Rolex. He was there along with Patricia. I never did catch up with Patricia. For some reason, we were too busy. But I saw Dr. Chang a couple times. He was out there doing his consultations. You know, Omega Alpha, if you're looking for natural supplements and if you're looking for products that are tested and are really human grade products, because they're made in Canada and they're much stricter up there about their supplements and products. If you want a product that you know is going to work for your horse, then Omega Alpha is the place you want to go. You know, every time we say this, every time we talk to him, but it's true. Every time we talk to Dr. Chang, I learn something. And, you know, I was listening to him. He was in the Bit of Britain booth, and he was, you know, chatting away and, you know, with customers. And I just learned so much listening to him. He's a wealth of knowledge, and it's that knowledge that has created the products, the multitude of different products that you can buy for your horse from Omega Alpha. And as I said, they're all natural. They're all made with herbs and natural ingredients. You won't find anything that, you know, that's bad for your horse in there. So you want to check it out at omegaalpha.ca. They have a bunch of different choices, but you know, if you're looking for that all natural supplement, then Omega Alpha is a place that you at least need to take a look at, because boy, they're a smart group. And Helene and I have talked to them a number of times, and we come away every time learning something new. So that's omegaalpha.ca. All right, so tell us about this person that you're going to have on here talking to. By the way, I haven't eaten lunch yet, and he's going to come on here and talk about all this healthy crap.
Yep.
And then I'm going to go away being all guilty, wanting to eat bad stuff, and then I'm not going to be able to, and I'm going to have to go eat carrots and celery, and then I'm going to be mad at you. I just wanted to bring all of that up, okay?
This is what, okay, Peter is, well, let me introduce him first, and then, first I'm going to tell you why he's on, why he's unique. Okay. Peter will help you understand that healthy food isn't just celery and carrots and rabbit food. That healthy food can really taste as good as the bad stuff. Even better. Even better. Healthy food is not bleh. It's really, really good. And nobody was more surprised than me, because let me tell you, I could live on Italian bread and butter and olive oil. I could.
You mean that's not what we're supposed to live on?
No.
I knew I was going to hate this segment. All right, so he has a half an hour to convince me.
He has a half an hour to convince me. So we have Chef Peter Bakun. He's got the CCP designation. He's a graduate of the Cambridge School of Culinary Arts, and that CCP is the Certified Culinary Professional designation, which is awarded by the IACP, the International Association of Culinary Professionals. Blah, 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 blah. It's hard to get. And when you have it, you're cool.
That just means he makes really good food.
Yeah, really, really good food. So in addition to providing private chef services in the Boston, Newport area, Peter's taught cooking classes. He's cooked at the Eurostopes Culinary Center in Massachusetts. He's designed cooking classes for vegetarians. He's had his fingers in just about everything. Now, he does have a day job. In addition to his work as a chef, he's a research analyst at Tufts University's John Hancock Research Center, and that is the research they do is on physical activity, nutrition, and obesity prevention. So, you know, this is kind of a unique perspective. As a research analyst, he's involved in various studies related to, well, nutrition and fitness. Now, once a week, Peter is charged with creating a 6-course meal for an elite group of scholars at Harvard University. He creates a unique menu for a dinner party of usually around 12 people. And it's challenging. And of course, it's fun. And he gets to be creative and all that. Somehow he manages to top his performance each time with rave reviews from all his guests. And we all know that the Harvard people are hard to please. So, yeah, I get to welcome my honey, my horse husband of the year, Peter.
Well, hi, Peter. Welcome to the show. You knew it was only a matter of time before your wife suckered you to be on here, don't you?
Hi, Glenn. Thanks for having me. Yeah, definitely.
You know, you waited 2 years, though, so you did pretty
good.
Has
it been that long? Wow.
It's been over that. It's been almost 2.5 years since we started this show. So you've gotten away
for two years. Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, whoever thought Helene and I'd make it 2 weeks? Let alone 2.5 years. Is she still listening? Oh, she's still listening. Darn.
I knew this was a bad idea.
You got two horse husbands on here, Alina. What do you want?
I know. This could be its own like horse husbands episode.
So now, tell me about what changed in your diet that she's lost all this weight. What changed?
What's changed for me?
Yeah, what's changed? And how did Peter help you do that?
Well, oh my gosh. If it wasn't for Peter, first of all, a support system. You need somebody there who is your cheerleader.
And yeah, probably if the other person's eating chocolate cake 5 times a day, it doesn't help, does it?
No, and it doesn't help when the other person's making chocolate cake and leaves it in the refrigerator.
Oh, okay.
It's all kinds of gooey, creamy, yummy stuff. But we'll get to that. Well, basically, Peter said to me, let's start with very small behavioral changes. And just make one little change or two little changes and go with that and see how that takes you. You don't have to, don't go on a diet. Don't say I'm going to cut calories. Don't try and lose weight. Just say I'm going to make this one change in my daily routine. And for me, those changes were to drink an 8-ounce glass of water before every meal.
And to sort of fill you up so you eat less?
Yep, every meal and every snack. And then to sit down at the table and eat my meals. At least breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I had to sit down at the table. I couldn't eat in front of my desk. I couldn't eat on the fly, in the car.
Okay, Peter, what's the theory behind that?
Behavior modification? It's just to get you into a good habit. You know, most people these days are dehydrated always. So I think the water, more than anything, helps you, you know, rehydrate yourself. You know, I have a motto. It's called hydrate or die.
Hydrate or die. Well, yeah, he mentioned that to me, and I said, so of course I like Googled hydration and how much water you should have. And
God, she doesn't believe you, does she?
No, I don't.
No, not a word. What I said.
She Googles everything.
She has to hear it from at least like 7 different people before she'll say like, oh yeah, maybe.
You did. You're going to think this is a really bad idea. She's really going to think this is a bad idea by the time we're done.
I do give him credit. He gets his own show. What do you mean I don't give you credit?
So, Peter, now, what's the idea? Okay, I get the water before meals. That kind of actually makes sense. And it's such an easy thing to do. So what about the sitting at the table?
Well, there's another really simple thing to do and something that most people don't do. And it's actually to make a place in your life for food and for eating and to not be multitasking, and have food in your multitasking life, I guess, you know. So you make a spot for quitting, sitting and eating, and then you can move on with your life. And I think that's just one of those behavior modifications that we've just come to, you know, forget about in this, you know, really busy world that we're in.
You know,
everyone always eats over sink or something like that, you know?
If you think about it, I know when I was growing up, I don't know about you guys, but my mom was insisted that I don't think she made the best healthy food, but she insisted that there were 4 boys in our family, that we all had to sit down for family dinner every night. And that's something that almost everybody did back then.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You didn't watch
slows
TV
you down.
Until after, you know?
Right. But it slows you down. Like if you're eating on the go, you don't realize how often you eat and you're really neglecting yourself. You're not feeding your body. You're just kind of getting something done. But by sitting down and slowing down and eating a meal, you are so much more satisfied. So I found that I was less likely to binge in between.
And, you know, that's so hard for riders to do, especially because they're taking care of the barn and, you know, they have to ride their horse and blah, 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 and then maybe their kids ride. And it just, it's hard to do. But I guess if yet what you're saying, Peter, is if you make it a habit, it becomes a habit.
Yeah, it's true. And I think, you know, if you, you know, you say, I have to go out and muck the barn, or I have to do that, or I have to feed the horse, or I have to do this. It's just another thing that you have to do. I have to sit down and eat.
Okay. So what, as far as the food is concerned, what were the changes in the foods that you allowed Helena to eat or made? Actually, I should change that. That you made for her, because you do all the cooking. She doesn't cook. So
I don't. I really, really don't cook. No. Well, I went out and started to, because the two modifications that I made, sitting down and eating and then drinking all that water, those actually, I started to feel better. And I found that I was eating a lot less because I didn't need to. And so I actually started to keep track of what I ate. And I went online and used a website called caloriecount.com. And it's got this nifty little tool calculator that you could put, you know, your weight and your height and all that stuff. And it'll tell you how many calories you can have and how many calories you burn just sitting around doing nothing. So I started to keep track of that. And once I had this calories in versus calories out in black and white in a log every day, I started to pay attention to how many calories were in each of the food items I was eating. And so then I turned to Peter and said, okay, it's 10 o'clock in the morning and I've consumed 500-600 calories already. What can I have for lunch that's not going to put me over the edge?
Yeah, I guess this is kind of funny, but this is exactly the one thing that I did not want her to do, is to quantify anything that she had to eat.
Because you know her well enough to know that she would obsess over it.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I think a lot of people do. And that, you know, as soon as you start to quantify food, it becomes laborious, you know, and you don't want to do it. And that's why I think that probably diets don't work and things like that, because it's just people start to, think of food in a quantifiable way. And it's not really a good thing. What I was trying to do was to, you know, change her diet by, you know, first of all, this behavior modification, and second of all, just try different foods. You know, when I go to the grocery store, the first thing I do is I walk around the perimeter of the store. And I had another small rule that I'd like to use. It was like, let's find foods with 10 ingredients or less in them. You get these whole foods. You walk around, you get the produce, you get bread from the bakery, which basically has, you know, flour, water, and salt in it, three ingredients there. And then you can walk around the meat section, or, you know, all around the perimeter of the grocery store is where all the fresh foods are. So I tried to stay around that perimeter.
You know, as you guys know, I was, you know, I had my Lyme disease really bad when I was living in Massachusetts. And actually, Peter helped me with my diet, because that's one of the things that helped me get better. But that's what I used to have to do. I really could not eat most anything that was down the aisles.
Right.
Almost everything I ate was around the edge, and I lost almost 50 pounds while I lived there. Now, part of that was because I was sick, but the other part of it was because I was basically eating healthier.
Right, right.
You know, anything in a can I had to avoid, pretty much, because it had something in it that I couldn't eat.
Yeah, and what I learned was, now, you know, Peter and I, this is where we disagree, and he didn't want me to quantify my food, but what I found was that I was so, I don't even want to say uneducated, but miseducated. I was so ignorant about how many calories and what kinds of ingredients went into foods that I sort of had to obsess over this to relearn. Because I was behind the eight ball, I had to catch up and figure out, okay, how many calories really is in a cup of cooked pasta or rice or a package of cookies? I mean, I was floored. I went to eat, I don't know, a couple of ginger snap cookies and couldn't believe how many calories were in it. Everything that's packaged, I mean, it's no wonder our nation is overweight, because there are crazy amounts of calories in packaged foods. So I did obsess a little bit, but it was good for me because, like I said, I had to retrain myself to understand healthy eating. And, you know, now going into the refrigerator or going to the supermarket and choosing healthier foods is habit now. It's almost like second nature. So one of the things I've learned is that eating protein is good for you, i.e. perky jerky. Packages
of perky jerky. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's the most terrific thing.
But sorry,
perky jerky people.
where Peter was especially helpful is pointing out sources of protein that were good. Like what, Peter?
I don't know. Fish, you know, there's a whole, you know, there's just so many foods out there that are great to experiment with, even if you haven't had the chance to get out there and see all these things. But, you know, there's all types of fish that you can use as, you know, major sources, chicken, beef, pork, you know, all kinds of great protein.
What I want to do, let's take a little break here. And then, Peter, when we come back, I want you to actually give us an example of what a healthy food day might look like. So let's do that right after we talk about another source of food for our horses, and that's Uncle Jimmy's. Uncle Jimmy's sells the best, and now that they have their sugar-free hanging balls, Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls, of course, is a horse treat that we talk about here all the time on the show, is, you know, they have a sugar-free version of his hanging balls, and they become very popular because there's a lot of horses out there. We all know that most horse treats are packed with sugar, that, you know, horses don't really need all the sugar that they're getting either. They get a lot of sugar through the grass and the hay and things like that. So we can limit what they receive in the form of their treats. And Uncle Jimmy's has helped us do that with their sugar-free hanging balls. You can find all of Uncle Jimmy's products at uncle-jimmy's.com. Check out all of the individual treats, and they also have chicken treats for Jamie. Jamie got some of those. She has chickens in her backyard, and you're going to want to check out Uncle Jimmy's brand products. You can find it at uncle-jimmy's.com or at a local store near you. So, Peter, what kind of foods, like for breakfast, lunch, dinner, or in between, would I eat? What would my menu look like for a day?
Let's see. For breakfast, I would have, you know, a good protein source. You could either have eggs or a cereal with milk, some fruit in it.
It depends what kind of cereal, because I really like Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms.
No, don't do Lucky Charms.
Oh, so that's not a good cereal.
I eat the Kashi cereals, like the Kashi Go Lean Crunch.
The who?
Kashi. You can find them in the health food section.
Oh, see,
They're not really that much more expensive than Lucky Charms.
See, and that's why I haven't seen them, because they're in the health food section.
You should.
I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the, there's a qualitative carbohydrate index called the glycemic index. Have you ever heard about that?
Yeah, sort of.
It's like a qualitative index of carbohydrates, and it you know, like a white bread or a sugar is going to go into your bloodstream a lot faster than a like a complex carbohydrate, like a whole oat or a whole wheat type of food. And so you'd probably want to get, you know, a good whole grain breakfast, oatmeal. Anything like that that's going to sort of give you a slow release of energy throughout the day, or at least get you through to lunchtime. So Lucky Charms is mostly sugar, and that would probably spike your blood sugar and then bring it back down and get you even more hungry earlier on in the morning.
Yeah, it does. And then the other thing it's mostly is salt for some reason. I'm not sure. But has a lot of salt in it too. I was just on calorie count.com because she had me go there, and I looked up Lucky Charms, and it has 110 calories, but sodium is 8%, 190 milligrams.
Lucky Charms only has 110 calories?
Yeah, can you believe
that?
What's
the serving size?
A cup.
Oh, that's not bad. But here's the thing. Now, 110 calories for Lucky Charms.
Yeah.
Now, but if I eat
but it
like
has
a 12, cup,
it has 12 grams of sugar.
Fine, but okay, so right, but what I'm saying is that you eat that Lucky Charms cereal, and by like 9:30, 10 o'clock, you're going to be hungry again, really hungry, because your sugar level has crashed.
Right.
But if you eat something like, again, I pick the Kashi cereals, those are higher in calorie, but it also has all that good for you food. Like, it's got fiber, which fills your belly, it's got the protein, and it's got enough energy. So I'm good with just one cup of that until like lunchtime. Sometimes if I need a little snack in between, I'll have a half a grapefruit, or I get those Chobani yogurts, which are awesome. But the point is that it's not so much how much you eat, but what there are foods out there. This is no joke, and I thought it was a lot of malarkey, but there are foods that can make you feel full longer. And it's usually those foods that are low in sugar.
Chinese is not one of them. For some reason, every time you eat Chinese, you're hungry an hour later. Why is that?
Is
you're
that?
Stuffed. You walk away from the Chinese restaurant going, I ate too much. And then 2 hours later, you're starving.
I don't know, it's those rice noodles, I guess. You know?
Okay, so that's breakfast. What about lunch?
Lunch, I usually like to make like a soup and a salad or something with a sandwich in between. The soups are really, really healthy foods that are really easy to make. You can start them in the morning, let them sit on the stove, and then by the time lunch or dinner come around, they're ready. You can even have it the next day. But you can just basically throw everything in a pot and let it cook.
So you're not talking necessarily about canned soups, which are high in sodium and...
Oh, no, right. Sorry about that. Yeah, I don't even know what a canned soup is.
Yeah, but I do, and your wife knows that I can open a can like nobody's business. Now, but here's the thing, Peter's a chef, so he thinks everything should be cooked from scratch. Now,
right.
For those people who work at home, you can put a pot of soup on the stove in the morning and let it cook, and it's ready by dinner time, and it is super easy. I definitely would say that homemade soups are definitely the kind of thing that non-foodies can make. But a lot of people work, so you have to go and you have to get canned soup. You can't leave something sitting on the stove all day long. They do have a lot of good healthy soups available that are low in calorie, low in sodium. Just read your labels.
Okay.
Progresso, the healthy choice, bleh, I think they're really, really bland.
Yeah, I don't like them either.
No, but the Progressos are pretty good. So just turn around, read the label, see how many calories it is, how much sodium it has, and you're good to go. And then, pair that with a salad.
Okay.
What about, if you just got a can of chicken broth? That's like canned soup. And then open up your refrigerator and start throwing stuff in the chicken broth.
Well, first, you can't just throw it in the way it comes out of the refrigerator. You have to peel it, cut it, slice it, or prepare it in some other way. I don't do that.
Because that's too much work?
Well, I can see most horse people, including my wife, not doing that, Peter.
working in the kitchen actually burns calories.
He's such a diva. But honestly, that's the only downside to my husband. I really do have the perfect horse husband, but he thinks like the whole world should make everything from scratch.
And I do like doing that. As Peter knows, I like to cook too. So, I like doing that too. But I can understand, I can understand not, being rushed and not having a whole lot of time. So what are, so dinner options, you're talking about proteins. Is that where you start to bring in the chicken and the fish and things like that? And I guess it's all, one of the things I found, Peter, too, and I think this is where that glass of water comes in. When I was on my diet, one of the things I found is because I was eating so little, I consciously would take the portion that I would normally have, cut it in half, and that's all I'd put on my plate. Because most of us do it the opposite way, and I found myself getting back into that. I'll just put on my plate what I would normally have, and I'll only eat half of it. Well, that doesn't work.
No, so, not if you're an animal like me.
No, you and I have no willpower. So
no,
I only have to put, if I consciously only put half the amount on the plate, I find what happens if you only put half the amount on the plate, and this is one of those habit things, is you eat slower because you don't want it to, it's going to be gone quicker. So you eat slower, you become fuller, and you eat less. And, if you just consciously only eat half the quantity you would have, which was way too much anyway, you're going to lose weight just because of that, if nothing else.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
One of the things that Helena had asked me to do is to serve all her meals on a salad plate, which is like an 8 or 6-inch plate.
So the plate looks full?
Yeah, so the plate looks full.
Ah, clever, Helena. Clever.
Well, no, it wasn't my idea. I read it in a book that Peter got. It's, and the thing is I think My husband is he's like Jennifer. Jennifer's a freak of nature in that she's this walking encyclopedia of horse knowledge. Well, Peter is a freak of nature in that he's a walking encyclopedia of food and nutrition knowledge. And, you know, one of the things he had said to me too was, you know, you have to kind of, part of this eating right is a mind game. If you are born and raised eating healthy, you don't have to challenge your mind. But if you develop bad eating habits, to change that, it is very much a mind game. And by using smaller plates, or even by using blue plates, or eating in a blue environment, blue tends to suppress the appetite. So you figure out these little tricks that help you, you know, modify your behavior. So the smaller plate was a fabulous idea. The filling yourself up with water beforehand, huge one. Keeping track of everything that you eat by logging it in a journal, either online or on paper. Sitting down, you know, slowing down, taking time to eat, and then
peeling carrots burns calories.
Peeling carrots and burns calories. Mucking stalls.
Back to that again.
I know. He wants me to make from scratch. It'll never happen. I'll eat his food, but I could never cook it.
Well, I got a couple questions here for you, Peter, and I know you're limited on time, so I'm going to try and ask it fast. If I'm out and about and I'm not home and I have to eat out, you know, most people stop fast food, get unhealthy hamburgers and things. What are the things that you can get while you're out that are more healthy for you? Is Subway really healthy for you?
Subway. I think most of the fast food places do have healthy options now, or at least healthier options.
So you're saying get the icky salad?
Well, is it really icky?
Yeah, it's kind of icky. But you know what? Subway. We have a Subway not too far from us, and they actually have healthier choices. Like, it's so much easier to create a healthy Subway meal than it is to get a healthy meal at McDonald's or Burger King or Wendy's.
Right.
I mean, you could choose your bread. So you can use a whole grain bread or a multigrain bread or something versus a white bread. You can choose your condiments, I would imagine.
Yep.
You can probably choose your, you know, how much protein actually goes into the sandwich. Say, I only want half the chicken or something like that, you know, or load it up on vegetables.
Right. Is there, okay, so now if you're heading off to a horse show, what kind of things do you pack to take to a horse show?
Well, let's see. It depends on, I suppose, what you like to eat. You could go with the Spanish, maybe. You could, you know, a gazpacho and a thermos with a loaf of bread would be awesome. The English version of maybe a cheese sandwich or something like that. In a beer. I'm saying that beer is actually probably pretty good for you if you're out in a horse show.
Every horse husband just went, yes. a lot of horse women just went, yes.
Yeah, there's things like lentils are great. They hold really well. You can make a great lentil salad. Just put a little oil and vinegar and salt and pepper on some cooked lentils, and you know, that will give you energy throughout the day.
What about bananas? That comes in its own package.
Well, yeah. Well, any whole foods are going to be great.
I was just going to say, are there any vegetables or fruits that you should avoid?
Well, let's see.
No.
I don't think so.
No. Onions, if you're going to a dinner party.
Beans, if you're going to a dinner party.
No, I mean, for the person who's not on a typical, like, a medical diet or something like that, then, you know, just whole fruits and vegetables are really good. Carrot sticks. All that bunny food that people...
celery and carrots. And
that stuff really doesn't fill you up, but it does give you a sense of satisfaction because you feel the crunch, the texture. So it's more than just... you know, it's more than just filling you up. It's actually, or it's more than just a sense of taste. It's a sense of texture as well.
See, I think that's God's evil joke, Peter, because I think that's where God got us, because he made all the stuff that's really bad for you and tastes really good fill you up. And celery and carrots, you have to eat like a whole bag full to feel full at all. So I think that's where he played a joke on us.
Well, I think it's mainly evolution. I mean, I think the urge to gorge is innate in all of us, just because,
ain't
you know,
that the truth.
You know, the world has gotten a lot smaller, and food now is ubiquitous. And you know, before we'd have these, you know, great places in time of great bounty, and then afterwards there'd be a fast for months because you wouldn't be able to grow any food. So all those fat soluble vitamins and all that fat would, you know, it's like a squirrel, you know, storing up for the winter, basically. So I think, you know, eventually maybe there'll be a time when we don't have to do that. You know, evolution will catch up with us, but for now it's really slow, and we gorge. That's just what we did. So we have to temper it with behavior modification.
Now, I think you're running out of time here. I think you have to get back to your real job. Am I right?
That's true.
Okay. Well, and I have about 1,000 more questions. We might have to have a part two on this, Helena.
That's fine with me.
We might have to come back to part two.
You should come up for a dinner party.
There we go. We can gorge on carrots and celery. Thank you, Peter. We'll talk to you again soon. And Helena, is there any way we can get him to maybe provide a couple of recipes that we can post on our Facebook page?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll do that. All right. We're going to be right back right after this this word from Equestrian Collections. And Helena and I will be right back. Thank you so much, Peter. And you can find his website at peterbakun.com. And we'll post links to that in our Facebook page.
Thanks for having me.
Here, I was involved in equestrian retail for a long time, and I know one of the problems that we always had and always the complaints that we always had was from men saying there's just not enough men's options in clothing and riding boots and gloves and jackets, and pretty much anything was always geared, especially in the eventing world, to women's. Well, now you can find a selection. You can find a huge selection of men's items at EquestrianCollections.com. They have show and casual apparel, riding boots, thermal gear, gloves and jackets. They basically can cover you from head to toe. So if you're a guy out there and have always had that problem where you can't find products you want, check out EquestrianCollections.com. They have a ton of different brands. They have a ton of different styles. You're going to like what you find at EquestrianCollections.com. And now you can get $10 off your next order of $120 or more just by using the coupon code HORSERADIO. When you check out, just put HORSERADIO in the coupon code, all one word, HORSERADIO, and you'll get $10 off your next order of $120 or more. So find all of your men's products, all the things you need, guys, at EquestrianCollections.com. Well, I'll tell you what, Helena, I could have asked him about it. I have 1,000 more questions for him. And the only reason we did this today is so because, you know, all of us that are ride, you know, being in shape and being healthy and carrying less weight for your horse is important too.
It is important, and it's it is creating a whole new perspective on not just, you know, your own health, but on it's like opening your eyes, having an awareness of what's around you and the world in which you're living.
Now, you obviously screwed up your knee, so this question is taking that into consideration. Mm-hmm. Do you feel better? You know, do you feel better?
I sleep better. I don't wake up in the middle of the night anymore. My hair is amazingly shiny. No more frizzies. I have really curly, crazy hair. And the frizzies are practically gone.
And we're talking really curly, crazy people. Go to our Facebook page and look at some of the pictures.
Yeah, the frizzies are gone.
It's very Italian hair.
My skin, I've always had problem skin, but that's starting to improve now. Now, I've only started this, early March. So I'm not very far into
it's 2 months.
This new way of living. You know, whether or not, so far, I'm 13 pounds down, but I've been averaging 1 to 2 pounds a week, which is what everybody says is healthy.
Was your goal? You can't go a whole lot more. There's not enough of you.
I would like to go down to my wedding weight.
So how many more pounds do you have to go to get to that?
I have another 12 pounds to go.
Okay, so you have lost a total of 25 was your goal.
Yes, total of 25. Well, really, when I first started, I had a very small goal, and that was 5 pounds. And now the interesting thing is, the water is key. And if anybody is listening right now, there are more than 12 people listening. I want you to consider how much water you're drinking in a day. You should be drinking half of your body weight in ounces. So if you weigh 150 pounds, you should be drinking 75 ounces of water every day.
That's a hell of a lot of water.
And that's how much you should be drinking. Otherwise, you're in what's called a state of functional dehydration. Now, big deal. I can survive in functional dehydration, you might say. My life isn't going to change. But here's what I learned.
Sounds like there should be a 12-step program.
It really should. Listen to me, okay? This is what really did it for me. When your body is deprived of water, your liver has to take up some of the slack from your kidneys because your kidneys can't do their job without enough water. Your liver is partly responsible for processing the fat in your body. So it can't process that fat if it's taking up the slack for your kidneys. So you drink more water, you relieve your kidneys. You relieve your liver. Your liver can then do a proper job of processing and eliminating fat. And trust me, it is, if you can make one change in your life, add a couple of glasses of water a day. I got a stainless steel water bottle, and it's a big one. It's like 24 ounces, 25 ounces. And I just say, you know what? I just need to drink three of those a day.
Okay, and I really like the idea. I think I'm going to start doing two things because I could lose some weight again. I'm going to start doing two things. I'm going to try the water, glass of water before meals, and mm-hmm. I'm going to do the thing I used to do, and that's eat half of what I normally would have.
Yep.
And then snack in between on things that are good for you, fruits and vegetables.
One other important thing that I want people to understand, and this is something that I discovered about myself during this process, is that I am addicted to food. I'm an emotional eater. It's my coping mechanism for
You're
stress.
An emotional everything.
I am an emotional everything. I know. You know, if as soon as things get stressed, I run to the kitchen or the snack machine and I get something, and I don't stop eating until I'm stuffed, because that, you know, releases those endorphins and all that, you know, and fatty foods and high carb foods tend to, release those good feeling chemicals a lot faster than healthy foods do. And so it's very easy to create a food addiction, and I am a food addict, and I didn't realize it until I started researching all the stuff. And it's these behavior modifications, these tiny little changes to make a complete life change would be way too much. That would just drive me. My knee would be nothing compared to that. But if you can do one small change each week, I did it 2 weeks. So like the first 2 weeks, I did the water thing. And you're going to be in the bathroom every half an hour. That's just something you're going to have to deal with. It does mellow out. You stop peeing all the time. After about a good month, your body finally says, oh, okay, this is how much water I'm supposed to have. I'm not going to get rid of it. But, you know, you make a small change, and then just let that change become habit for 5 or 10 days. And then add another change so that you don't overwhelm yourself.
Okay, that's probably the best answer right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny because I know I can do it. I've done it before.
Yep.
You know, I've done it before for sure, and I know I can do it, but, you know, it's so tough. It's just hard.
It is tough, and especially for those of us over a certain age.
Yeah.
You know, It is, your metabolism slows down, and also your muscle mass slows down diminishes as you get older. And we all know that muscle burns calories more efficiently than any other, you know, body tissue. So
there are a couple of suggestions here that are simple things to get started with are drink the glass of water before every meal. You know, make your snacks a little bit healthier, and you know, cut your portions.
Cut your portions, and don't give up. You know,
In 2-3 days, the portion cutting thing is probably the toughest of all of that. In 2-3 days, you'll be hungry. I guarantee you're going to be hungry if you cut your portions. Even if you don't change what you're eating, you're going to be hungry.
Yeah.
But after 2-3 days, it starts to go away, and after a week, you're not going to want more.
You're not, and your stomach does shrink a little bit. It does tighten up a little bit so that you find yourself getting full faster.
Yep.
And eventually, again, as Peter and I were talking about, the types of foods that you choose to eat will help you feel full and satisfied longer. But that water is key to staving off the, oh my God, I'm starving. And you're not starving. You're really not. I mean, your body can go for days without food. You just have to get outside and muck your stalls, clean your tack, groom your horse, do something extra. If you're at work in an office, walk up and down the stairwell. You know, just get your heart rate pumping, and that will actually help stave off the cravings. Like, I walk around and I go, all right, I want cake and steak. Tired of eating healthy, I want, and in that order, I want the cake first and then a steak. but that little jokey thing, I laugh about it, and then I distract myself. I get busy.
And you could have cake and steak if you were eating half of the portions that you would normally have eaten, probably.
Yes, yes, and yeah. I do. I mean, yeah. I had two brownies yesterday afternoon. I could have eaten 12.
Right.
Okay, and I ate two, and you know, and I do eat steak, and I eat sandwiches, and I don't eat as much mayonnaise. I don't eat as much butter, and I choose my breads very carefully. I've moved to wraps instead of sandwiches.
Yes. Yeah, we have done that too. Taco shells or wraps or something. Yeah.
And once you see the results on the scale, you are so motivated to keep going. Because I thought there's no way in the world I'm ever going to lose.
I could care less about the scale. I want to see it in my jeans.
That's, well, yeah.
That's
yeah.
where I saw it, was in my jeans. But you could fit two of me at one point in my jeans. That was where that's where it really hit home.
I was too impatient to wait for it to show up in my jeans. So I bought myself a Weight Watcher scale, which does like to the ounce. And normally, you know, Peter absolutely will say, don't do this.
Yes.
But because I'm OCD, ADD, crazy, impatient, I weigh myself every day.
Yeah, that's one thing they tell you not to do.
Well, what happens is the nice thing about calorie count, and I definitely encourage people to go up and play with their tools because it's a pretty cool website, is that while your weight will fluctuate during the day and even during the week, it to me, I needed the motivation to say, okay, I'm at, let's just say, you know, I'm at 130 pounds today, and tomorrow I'm at 131, and then I'm at 129, and then I'm at 133. You know, if I went up a pound, even if it's water, it made me aware of what I was eating that day. Like, I'd say, oh, you know what? I ate a lot of salt yesterday. Salt retains water. So, you know, you learn these things. The more that scale gives you numbers, the more it drove me to learn about what those numbers meant.
You know, there's a scale now that you can get that has a wireless card in it, and it actually, every time you get on the scale, it tweets your weight.
I don't want to share my weight with anybody. I don't want to share my weight with anybody. But
that's motivation.
The idea is to find something that motivates you. For me, for some people, it might not be looking at the scale at all. It might be trying on their favorite pair of jeans once a week. But experiment with it. And if you get that tiniest feeling of motivation or that, oh, I feel really good with this, keep going back to that. Keep going back to that positive reinforcer, because that will help you to get through the next desire to binge.
Well, congratulations, Selena, my little friend.
Let's hold off on the congratulations until the end of the year.
And okay.
Let's make sure
let's do it this way. Off. Nice work so far, Helena.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, now I'm going to have to do it too. Now I'm motivated. You motivated me.
Yeah, just
now
start with
5 pounds. I have to give a weekly report.
Okay.
So I have to give a weekly report. So, and I know, as I said, I know I've done it before, and I'm not as heavy as I was back then. So I don't have to lose 50 pounds, you know, this time.
Right.
But, all right. Well, thank Peter for being on. That was great. And as I said, we could do so much more of this. And you are going to post a couple of your favorite recipes on our Facebook page, right?
Yes, we will.
Scoop?
Okay. Yes, he's actually preparing for a dinner at Harvard tomorrow night. But we will get those up sometime between now and Friday.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, thank you, Helena. This has been fun, and it was good to talk to him again. It's been a while since I talked to Peter. So
I know, my honey. And he's been a really good horse husband, taking care of my stalls while I've been grounded.
Yeah, we're going to have to. Yeah, if you want to hear more about that, go to tackandhabit.com. She talked about that this week. Well, Helena, you take care of yourself, and we're going to talk to you again next week as we have a couple of more great guests. We have some interesting shows coming up.
Yes, we do. But I don't know what they are. But if you would like,
that's right. Go ahead.
For details about today's show, you know you can go to Stable Stoop. I don't know where you know you could go. I guess I'm hungry. I need cake and steak. For details about today's show, go to stablescoop.com, and we will post links to Peter's website, some yummy food photos, and those recipes we talked about. And we always love your feedback, so find us on Facebook. We want to hear your comments. If there's something, if you have a question for Peter, please post it, and we'll do our best to get him to answer you.
And many thanks to our sponsors, Equestrian Collections, Uncle Jimmy's, and of course our title sponsor, Omega Alpha. We appreciate them being with us. And, you know, be sure to visit all the other shows in the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Helene and I do the Tack and Habit Show. I do the morning show, Horses in the Morning. You can find us there every day from 9 to 10, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Well, Helena, that's it for this week.
And we will have more next week.